Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, Grinders! Welcome to the DFS pregame show here on Roto Grinders. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blender Ed, Blender HD. You gotta follow me on Twitter. And it's Wednesday, November 23rd. It's Thanksgiving Eve. And I'll probably talk about the Thanksgiving slate tomorrow, three-game slate for NFL or anything else that you want. It's kind of whatever Wednesday. Whatever you want Wednesday. A lot of W's here. A lot of W's in the chat, like Wataz. Wataz, Suki Singh, good morning. Adam Meisen, hello. Bart B, good morning. Kickstart, GM. Matt Mears, morning. Defic, morning. Devin's in the chat. Good morning. I feel much better than yesterday. But we don't got that much to talk about unless you have stuff. Unless say you have stuff to bring up. The World Cup, right? That's how Japan just won. It'd be Germany 2-1. Still gotta take care of lineups there. Spain had a weird lineup that we didn't expect, and that's why you got to swap people out throughout the course of the day. And that's where you have projections here at Roto Grinders. If you want to play World Cup, I would suggest getting the combo premium package so you have projections and content for like every sport. But we also have a World Cup package. I think it's $25 for the entire World Cup, $24.95 or something like that. So sign up for that. Get the projections. Sean and Alex are always updating that every time we get the new starting 11s for the next game. And the night before, they come out with a 30-minute show talking about the slate at hand. So join me. Join me in the soccer lobby. DraftKings, 20K to first, GPPs. So decent prize pools. Dave Clark's in the chat. Good morning. Good morning. Hit the thumbs up button. That's the first thing that you should do in the morning. Hit that like button. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the notification bell. Happy Thanksgiving. I got to go to my mother-in-law's. I almost got out of it because of car trouble. Almost got out of it. We got an issue with the car. Had to take it in. And now it was supposed to be someone picked us up or whatever, and I didn't want to stay over there, so it's like, oh, you could stay home. But now they're fixing the car, and my wife's getting a rental car. So I gotta go tomorrow. So I won't be here tomorrow. There's no pregame show tomorrow. It's gobble gobble time. Go eat your turkey. Go watch NFL football. throughout the course of the day. We got some good games. The first game is probably going to be the most owned game, the Buffalo-Detroit game. But we could talk a little bit about that. Zach Kinkella, would you love some soccer GPP strategy talk? Yeah, it's up to the YouTube chat. It's up to the YouTube chat. Typically, the main thing in soccer is to determine which types of players are ceiling players and which type of players are floor players, right? The guys that take set pieces, the attacking fullbacks, the guys that cross the ball a lot, those are more cash type players. Now, if they have good goal scoring odds, if they're attackers, I mean, they could also score a goal also. But the center forwards are typically, you know, very goal dependent. They don't touch the ball as often. When they may take three or four shots, and maybe they score all of them, and then you get a 40-point game or something. Okay, understand in soccer that the teams that are more favored are more likely to get more possession. Okay, so you're typically the chalk on a soccer slate are going to be the heavier favorite attacking players, wide players on DraftKings. This is for DraftKings because FanDuel doesn't credit shots and it doesn't credit crosses. You need a shot on goal to get credit, or you need a goal. FanDuel is much more goal-oriented, and it's much more defensively-oriented for the defenders. You want guys that get clearances and tackles. The DraftKings doesn't award clearances and deflections and stuff like that. So it's two completely different games. So typically, outside of probably not playing an attacker against your goalkeeper, you could kind of do whatever you want. It's not like the type of thing where, oh, I need to stack people up. But you probably are looking for like goal assist type combos in soccer. So like on today's slate, for GPP, like some of the best plays on the slate were like David Raum, right? Take about half the set pieces for Germany. So he's a good core piece. Same for like Jordi Alba. He should take about half the set pieces for Spain. Just understand the way, I mean, I'm going through the slate. And I mean, that Spain's playing now. Knowing how the teams play also was beneficial. Like Germany and Belgium are much more DFS friendly than Spain, even though Spain is like a minus 700 favorite today. Okay, Spain is a very heavy possession-based team with shorter players, and they don't cross the ball that much. They play a lot around the edge of the box. A lot of passes, a lot of through ball. They take their time. They try to get like the perfect shot on goal. So a lot of times they're for DFS purposes, they're not really doing much. You get a lot of accurate passes. Right, a 0.02s, you get a lot of those. They pass the ball around a lot. They'll have like 75% possession, but they may only take 8 shots the entire game. Right, so you have to see how they play. Germany, on the other hand, is much more likely to cross the ball, much more likely to take shots when they're advantageous, much more fantasy friendly. And same for Belgium, right? And Belgium's main playmaker is Kevin De Bruyne. So like he's going to be over all dead balls and everything. So like for cash games and GPPs, he is the highest floor and the highest ceiling. So you're kind of trying to mix in GPP, a mix of like the high floor, high ceiling players with like the guys that could score goals. And if you could find cheap goals, that's typically the way to win GPPs. You win GPPs with cheap goals or like braces and hat tricks, right? Forwards that score multiple goals. Okay, so when you build lineups, you kind of like, okay, if I'm going to play David Raum, right, and he gets an assist, who is it going to go to? Right, probably someone on Germany in the forward slot. Right, Gnabry, Müller, Havertz, who's only midfield eligible actually on this slate. So, like, if you paired like Raum and Gnabry together, right, do something like this, and then it's like, okay, well, you could also, you know, take the big favorite in the Spain game and take Alba for half the set pieces there. You're paying up twice the defender for nice high floors and high ceilings. And maybe you pair him with like Ferran Torres or something like that. You play De Bruyne in the lineup also for the high floor and the high ceiling, right? This would be very chalky. This would be a very like a small field chalky type of lineup. But you look like this. You have 42-67. So you're like, okay, well, if you're not playing anyone else on Belgium, like De Bruyne can get there, even, you know, could get 20 points without a goal or an assist. So maybe you could play Milan Borjan, like the Canadian goalkeeper, against him. But I wouldn't play any more Belgian players because you bet when you're playing the goalkeeper, you want a lot of saves and a clean sheet, right? So De Bruyne gets a ton of crosses. They can't get the ball in the back of the net, something like that, right? So you're thinking in terms of this. You have 43-50 left. So maybe you play You play, you know, Pedri on Spain. He's a cheap $4,300 guy, and you have $4,400 left. You got Aspilicueta on the other side, right? The other fullback. So this would kind of be it'd be a chalky GPP lineup, but it would be a GPP style lineup. Now, if you want to get more contrarian, you'd play more of the underdogs. You'd play someone like Jonathan David for Canada in the forward spot. For the underdogs, remember, the underdogs are going to hold possession less. Okay? So the most valuable players for teams that are going to be more counterattacking would be, obviously, number one would be their set-piece takers. So whenever they get a dead ball, you're going to get a cross, you're going to get a shot, you're going to get a shot assisted, you're going to rack up some points. But then you're primarily playing the forwards. The guys, the defensive midfielders for big underdogs have very, very low, they have low floors and low ceilings. So if you wanted to, if you're like, okay, I'm going to play contrarian and not play De Bruyne, right? I may play, you know, Jonathan David for Canada. I may play two Canadian players, play Eustachio or something like that. Like that would be a GPP lineup. Or what you could also do is kind of play for the 3-2 type of game where you're not taking any defenders from a team. Let's say you wanted to stack up like the Belgium-Canada game. And you're like, okay, I want to play Hazard. I want to play De Bruyne. I want to play Batshuayi, right? You kind of like stack the whole thing. To stack all the three attackers there. Then you play like David on the other side. So you want Canada to score, right? But you don't have to worry about the clean sheet or anything. So you play them, maybe play Taj Buchanan. You're playing like five guys from the game. You want it to be back and forth. You want Canada to score first and then Belgium to score. And then Canada's, you know, like a much more open game. And then defenders, then maybe you take a defensive stack of the other game, right? So you have 6,400 left. I mean, you'll have plenty of money, right? You could do something like Simone and Alba, right? You could even play David Raum in this lineup also, right? You'll have money left over, right? You have 1,900 left over. Do you have to do this? No. You could play Eustachio there. You could not play Batshuayi. You could just play the two Belgian attackers. I mean, you could do something like that. But typically in those types of games, you're probably not taking defenders that are more reliant on clean sheets to get points. That would be more of a GPP strategy, but it's kind of a mix. Just like in any other sport, it's not a matter of here are the cash plays, here are the GPP plays. You have to do an 8v8. It's like the players that are good for cash games are also good for GPPs, but some have higher ceilings than others. Typically in cash games, you don't want to necessarily have to rely on like goal dependent type players. Like Mishi Batshuayi today, he's underpriced though, so I can understand playing him. Like his projection is 12. It's like he's a center forward. He's not going to do anything else other than like be on the end of a cross or on the end of a pass. Like he doesn't get to 12 points without a goal or an assist. Like he's not going to take that many shots. So most of the time he scores like 4 or he scores like 18. Something like that. While someone like Kevin De Bruyne at 9,500, he could go to 18.75, this median value, like just on peripherals. Now, if he gets on the score sheet, now you're going to need him. Now he has 30 points. He has the goal on top of that, right? That's why he's probably the most valuable player on this slate coming up. So that's more of a, you know, thinking GPPs. And if you want to get for large field contrarian, play more of the underdogs. Right, you play Japan, Costa Rica is a very big underdog, and they're barely going to have possession, but if you wanted to play a Costa Rican player, you'd play their forward. You'd play someone that, on a counterattack, that they don't have to touch the ball. It's similar to playing in NFL, like a receiver that may only get 2 or 3 targets, but they're like way down the field. Deshaun Jackson, you know, that type of guy. It's a little bit on soccer. Happy Thanksgiving to Blaine Mundell. Which quarterback is most likely to be better dollar for dollar value? Well, I mean, the best thing to do would be to look at the projections, okay? If you don't have projections, you should sign up to Roto Grinders. Get our NFL projections. It's not that hard, right? All you have to do is sort by the RGV column, point per dollar column or whatever, and go, oh, okay, Josh Allen is by far. He projects 10 points higher than like any other quarterback. You should have known that already. I mean, the Buffalo has a 32 total. On a 3-game slate, the total on the game is 54.5. These other two games, 45.5 and 42.5. So yes, it's Josh Allen, but you should you should, we got an Olmo goal. We got an Olmo goal. I have him in two lineups or whatever. He's going to get subbed out in 60 minutes. So, like, don't worry about it. Maybe he doesn't score two. So yeah, so sign up for Roto Grinders, get the projections, click on the link in the description, get $10 off your first month. You'll get all that information. You don't even have to bother asking. Bart B says these short NFL slates have been problematic for me. I need help, Blender. Okay, well, it depends on what format contest you're playing. Okay. For these short slates, especially. I mean, it matters on the regular slates also. If you're playing cash games, just play the best optimal median lineup. I mean, don't worry about it. If you're playing GPPs, typically, I'm going to say typically, overstacking is not owned as much as it should be. Okay, so if you're looking to take down first place by yourself without duplication, as much duplication, be more inclined to overstack a game. Because less people do it. And you may leave money on the table. You may leave $2,500 on the table by doing so. So if we take a look at this Buffalo game, it's going to be the most popular game. A lot of people, what they're going to do is they're going to play Allen, right? They're going to do something like this. They're going to treat it like a main slate, right? They're going to play Allen, Diggs, Knox, then Amon-Ra St. Brown or something like that. Right, they're gonna piece it together like it's a main 10 game, 12 game type of classic slate. Right? They're gonna go, okay, I got my 3+1. I got a stack and a run back. And then they're gonna look at running back. They're gonna go, okay, I'm gonna play Stevenson and Barkley. Doesn't give me much. I don't know if you could fit Barkley in a lineup with Diggs. So maybe you don't play Barkley. So you got Stevenson in there. Maybe you play Pollard instead, or Cook. Right, so you play Pollard there. Maybe you find a cheap wide receiver. Right, you look down Isaiah Hodgins, Darius Slayton's 5K, Richie James. Right, because we don't know what the hell's going on with the Giants, so maybe you play Richie James here. You look at the defense. Maybe you correlate and you play the Cowboys. You play the Cowboys or the Patriots. Right, and you have 4,500 left. I don't know what you could get for 4,500. Something like this. This is what people are going to do. They're going to try to mix and match a lot. They're going to go, okay, I got a stack and a run back. I got, you know, something like that. And then they're going to try to find the pieces in the other games and stuff like that. A lot of lineups are going to look like that. Now, if you leave some money on the table, I'm not saying you can't play those types of lineups. What less people do is overstack because your opportunity cost on this slate is much lower. There aren't that many options. When you play like six guys from a game on a 12-game slate, it's hard for all of them to get there because unless the game goes like 54 to 42 or something, most likely when one guy gets a touchdown, the other guy doesn't get a touchdown, right? There's a lot of mouths to feed. But that's on a slate, on a 12-game slate where there's opportunity cost. There's why take six guys from one game where there's 11 other games? There are people that are going to get 30 points from another game, 20 points from another game. Why lock in maybe 14 points from this guy when you could find someone that isn't negatively correlated to the rest of your lineup? The thing is that on a three-game slate, the opportunity cost is much lower. If you get 16 points out of a wide receiver at 6K or something, that may still be the fourth highest scoring receiver on the slate. I mean, it still could be. So less people overstack. So like if you were to overstack the Buffalo game, which will be the most popular game. You could do something like, I mean, you could literally do Diggs, Davis. I mean, you could literally do this. Diggs, Davis, Knox, and Singletary. Like, really, like, overstack it. Right? So you're taking, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And on the other side of the ball, maybe you take, let's see. Jamal Williams isn't horrible. Right, but maybe then you take Amon-Ra on the other side. I mean, you're gonna run out of a little bit of money. Take Amon-Ra on the other side. Maybe you take Khalif Raymond also. Put him in the flex. Right, so you're overstacking the game. And then let's see, what's the cheapest defense? I mean, you could even play the defense against the stack if you wanted to. So you have the Vikings, the Lions, the Giants. Maybe play the Giants defense, and you got 6,400 at running back. Oh, yeah, and here you go. And you got Ramondre Stevenson right there. Right? So here you go. Something like this. Like, less people will be playing these types of lineups. Like, this I consider to be a good GPP lineup. Yeah, if Buffalo, you're going to just capture essentially like most of the Buffalo offense. And you're going to capture a lot of the passing offense for the Lions. And if that game goes 35 to 24, and these other two games, let's say Dallas, you know, it's Dallas Giants is 17-14 and Minnesota New England is 20-3 or something. Like, this wins, right? There's not like nine other games that could go off. It's like, get the one game that goes off. Now, obviously the Buffalo Detroit game will be the most popular game to overstack like this, but let's say you do it for another game. Let's say you do it for Dallas Giants. Maybe you play Barkley here. And maybe you play Barkley, Pollard. You could play both of the running backs, right? Maybe you play Daniel Jones. Play Daniel Jones. You could even play Prescott. Probably play Prescott, Pollard, play Schultz, you play Lamb. Right? And then we have to take a Giants receiver. Maybe you take Slayton for some upside. Something like this. You got 1, 2, 3, 4. Maybe even play Noah Brown in this lineup, right? Or something like that. Maybe Gallup. Gallup's only 4,600. Okay, you do something like this. And then you got defense. Let's see. What can we fill it with? And you play the Lions defense against Buffalo because people are playing Buffalo. And you got 6,600 left. Yeah, Ramondre Stevenson fits right in that spot. There you go. Overstacking the game. How many pieces? I mean, it's up to you. Try to do more than 4, 5, 6, 7 even. Set 4 on one side, 3 on the other. These are all viable. So let's say you were to do that for the New England-Minnesota game. Right, so you come in here, you go, okay, I'm going to play Kirk Cousins at 5,600. I'm going to play Ramondre Stevenson. I mean, I could just, let me highlight this. Play Ramondre. Maybe you play Justin Jefferson. You play Adam Thielen. Right? Maybe you even play, let's see, 49. Do we have Hockenson? Where's Hockenson? Hockenson. You play Jacoby Myers on top of that. Right? 49-33. Maybe in this lineup you would play someone like, I mean, because you can't pay it for Barkley, so maybe you are playing Pollard in this lineup. Right, just try to fill it out. Right, because you're stacking Cousins, Jefferson, Thielen, Hockenson. The entire passing game for the Vikings on top of Stevenson and Myers. And then you find the defense, because you can play Lions in this one. And you have 6,100 left. And you could play Jamal Williams or something there. I believe Jamal Williams is cheap enough, right? I think. Yeah, 5,900. Perfectly. Correlates with the Lions defense. There you go. Overstacking. Now, obviously, if the New England-Minnesota game is like 17-6 and the Buffalo game is like 1 million to 1 million, you lose. Like, this is going to come in like last place. But let's say the Buffalo-Detroit game goes under and the New England-Minnesota game actually shoots out to a decent extent in comparison to the other two games. Well, this is the type of lineup that could win a GPP. And the construction is less owned than it should be. Those types of constructions are optimal more often than what the field is going to do, because the field is more likely to try to get bits and pieces of other games. They'll probably stack quarterback plus 2 pass catchers and then have a run back or something like that. And also, you can even not stack the game and just stack the team. So maybe there's going to be a lot of lineups, even with Buffalo. Like, let's say we play Buffalo, we go Josh Allen, and we just stack the crap out of it, right? We play Singletary, play everyone. Play the top 2 wide receivers, Diggs, Davis, Knox. But let's say that they just completely obliterate the Lions. They win 38-3. Well, a lot of these lineups may even have, like, Amon-Ra St. Brown with, like, 8 points. Right? Or Khalif Raymond with 3 points. Maybe The Lions don't even do anything. So you could take this and you could even play the defense on top of it. Right? So you're playing the entire stack and the defense. This could be fine. And then you take from the other games. Right? So we could even press the optimize button. Right? This has St. Brown in it, but let's say we don't play St. Brown. Let's say we play, I don't know, who's left out here? In the wide receiver spot, I mean, we could play CeeDee Lamb. We could play Jacoby Myers. Like, if we play Lamb here, 2,600, we don't have much money left. So you play Steven, maybe you play Stevenson and Myers, and you play New England. 4,600 left. Maybe you play double tight, you know, you play Schultz in the tight end spot or something, and there. That's a valid lineup also. Don't be afraid to leave some money on the table. Would I leave 5,000 on the table? Not necessarily. But you could. On these slates, you can. You have to come in with a little bit more of a showdown mindset. And this is for GPPs. When it comes to cash games, I mean, look, I'm just going to press the button. Just play the top optimal lineup or something close to it. Dave Clark says, I imagine most will be stacking the Buffalo-Detroit game. Of course. And then if it busts, you'll know exactly what to do later. I mean, it's the first game of the slate. If you're playing multiple lineups, let's say you're playing multiple lineups, or you're just playing one, you could. Let's say you want to get off and you don't want to stack the Buffalo-Detroit game, but maybe one of the players in that game, one, you need to have. Right? One guy has two touchdowns in 100 yards or something. But that's the only one. Like, you'd rather stack the other two games. And then have one guy from Buffalo or Detroit. Well, what you could do is just like, okay, I'm going to build a lineup that just has Diggs in it. And then get rid of all the other Buffalo players. I'm going to build a lineup with just Davis in it. With just Singletary. With just Amon-Ra. Right? You could even do that. You could even do that in lineup HQ. I could X out that game. Right? If I just build lineups without that game at all, I'm going to get like Dallas... Green. I'm going to get a lot of Dallas Giants. I'm going to Dallas Giants stack with Hodgins in there. But let's say it's like, okay, what happens if Gabe Davis is the one to go off? So I go into the excluded and I bring Gabe Davis back. Right? So I lock him in and I go, okay, what does that lineup look like now? Okay, so you have Gabe Davis and then you still have Prescott, Lamb, Schultz. You have Barkley, Myers, Hockenson, Vikings defense, or something like that. And then if without Davis, you exclude Davis again, and you go, well, what happens if I just take Singletary? Or just take Knox? I just have Knox in my lineup, right? I just play Knox from that game, and then I stack something in the other games. Right? What would that look like? We get a little, you know, you can't play 9 players, or you can't play 10 players. I'll reload it. So do something like that. Understand that you're more likely to cash playing the onesie-twosie method, right? Playing a 3+1 and then filling out your lineup with the best projected values. You're more likely to min cash. Oh. But you're sacrificing min cash equity for winning equity, for first place equity. Do we get another goal in the Spain game? Do we get another goal? Asensio? Did Asensio get a goal? I got some... I have neither of them in my cash lineup. Let me check. Let me check how it's going. Oh, I got one lineup up there. Oh, I got a really good lineup. Nabry, Omo, Asensio, Ram, Aspilicueta. Okay, that could work out. Okay. I'm just checking to see. Okay, Alba has an assist. Okay, we're doing good. We're doing good in soccer. Of course, the team that doesn't do much, that just possesses the ball a lot, already has 2 goals. I mean, they were projected to score at like 2.5 goals, so it's not a big deal. Just that they don't really rack up like peripheral points. You're not going to see people with like 12 crosses and stuff like that. But yes, if you're looking to win, especially the largest field GPPs. What you want to do is do the thing that is less probable, but still more likely than what the field is going to do. That's the fundamental concept of DFS. I mean, that is what I talk about in the Theory of Daily Fantasy Sports. 15-hour audio DFS masterclass at theoryofdfs.com. But I also have the advanced course that comes with custom Excel tools. The fundamental core of DFS, the fundamental core of all gambling profitably, is to get better odds on something happening than its true odds. A six-sided die, if you could get 10 to 1 to guess a six-sided die roll, you're profiting, no matter what you choose on the die. So it's very similar in DFS, where the most probable lineup, right, is the median lineup, 142.66. Like, this would be a 50th percentile outcome. You're most likely to get around this amount of points with this lineup. But it's also, like, owned by, like, so many people. Like, all the ownership is very high. So it's very hard to win first place with it. What you want to do is you play lower-owned players that are less projected. They're worse plays. But should X player be 8% owned? Or should he be 16% owned? If he should be 16 and you're getting him at 8, that means that's plus EV. Positive expected value. So the same can be said with lineup constructions. You're going to see a lot more lineups in the contest that you play, the GPPs that you play, that do a 3+1 type of lineup, that take players from all three games, that don't play the defense against their offense, that don't play two. Dude, if you want to play Damian Harris and Stevenson together on a three-game slate, go for it. Why not? Why wouldn't you do it on a 12-game slate? Because the opportunity cost is much higher, because there's 20 other running backs for that same price that don't vulture touchdowns from each other. But there's only a three-game slate. Dude, if both your running backs get a touchdown, that's probably fine, right? Ramondre Stevenson gets a ton of passing yards and catches, and he has 18 points, and Damian Harris has two touchdowns on the goal line. Maybe that's fine for their prices. Now, on a 12-game slate, you may have another running back that puts up 30 in some other game, and another running back that puts up 24 in some other game. Here, there aren't that many games going on. So you don't need the highest pie. You don't need to have all flames in your lineup. There's only three games going on. So that's why I would suggest, based on previous trends of what I've seen on these short slates, is to overstack. It's less probable because you need the team to, like, really go off, but less people do those lineups. You know, people will build a lineup with Allen, Diggs, Knox, and then Gabe Davis has a touchdown and Isaiah McKenzie has a touchdown. And you'd be like, well, I got Buffalo. Or, like, you know, they'll have Amon-Ra and Khalif Raymond will have a 60-yard touchdown. They'd be like, I didn't have the right pieces together. It's like, well, what happens if you just took them all? What happens if you just took them all? And if the game goes over 54.5, you probably got a lot of points. You probably do. And if that game disappoints and you overstack the other game, and that game goes 28-21 even, it's probably cheaper. Diggs has a snowflake. Allen has a snowflake. And then you win that way. So for GPPs, I would focus more on games. Overstacking teams, overstacking games. And we get another goal. Another goal for Spain. I believe it's a penalty. Penalty goal for Ferran Torres. If you stacked Spain, you're doing pretty good. Right? I don't know. Ferran Torres they all have around 14, something like that. I don't have these guys in cash. Well, I got Alba in cash. Okay. That's not bad. I mean, we're already, 32 minutes in? Soccer, you got to play it. It's good sweat. It's a very good sweat. Sloaner1014, longtime listener. I started downloading DK Double Up CSVs and creating a database of usernames that are predictably bad cash lineups and then target them in head-to-heads. Has been quite profitable so far. That's a good thing to do. You have to hope that they also play head-to-heads. I mean, a lot of people that you may see in double-ups, you're not going to see in the head-to-head lobby. But if you, I mean, I think that's great. It's not something that I've done. But I think, especially if you have a smaller bankroll, you're looking to build it, you want to find the highest EV, situations you can. So I think that's very smart, Sloaner. I give you a thumbs up for that. Everyone, hit the thumbs up button for that. What I do is I just play everyone in the lobby, and then I check my rotor tracker and see my head-to-head results, and go, okay, this probably don't play that guy, right? We're kind of trading right there, and this person's like, okay, I'm going to take all of their head-to-heads. But you have to develop more of a sample size for that. But yes, but that is very smart to do. Go through the double ups and go, who's also in the head-to-head lobby? Because then you don't have to play them. Then you don't, you're like, oh, okay, I don't have to play them in head-to-heads to figure out if they're good or not, or if they're, better or worse. I don't think anyone is that bad. But maybe you can find some bad ones. I don't know. Sloaner giving out the secrets? He's giving out the secrets. Okay, I think we're good. I think we're good for today. Nice little short show. Nice little short show talking about the Thanksgiving slate. I'm not sure, Devin. Are we having Thanksgiving shows and content?
Yeah, we have a pre-lock show that'll be before the first of the three games, and we'll also have some premium videos for premium subscribers. We'll have a couple of Monkey Knife Fight, some Parlay IQ videos, stuff like that.
Okay, so who are the suckers that have to do a pre-lock show on Thanksgiving? I say that because I used to be the sucker.
Well, you're talking to one of them, unfortunately. But Andre and TJ will be on there tomorrow for the pre-lock show. So
right. I had to take off because I didn't know if my wife wanted me to go to Thanksgiving. This whole thing, Devin, I almost got out of it.
Car broke down. Couldn't do that NFL show.
Right. I would have done the NFL show if had that happened. No, the car broke down, and the thing is that our niece was gonna pick like us up, but then we'd have to stay over like her mother-in-law's, and I don't like sleeping in other people's places. So it's like, so my wife was like, I'm not gonna make you stay over. You can just stay home for Thanksgiving. She'll pick me up and drive me home on Friday, and Then the auto place came back with like a quote and said, this includes like a rental car with your whatever the hell in it, like what, and my wife, I'm getting a rental car for a week or whatever. So you know what that means? We have a car and we're driving and we don't have to stay over.
It was the first time ever car dealership or car management had to be the easiest it could have ever been.
Right. So yeah. So I'm stuck going. It's not horrible. It's just that I'd rather do nothing.
I would be going to visit, but we have a new dog who's a bit of an anxious little bug. So we actually found out she's able to get out of the crate on her own, little Houdini. So
you're not going because you're using the dog excuse.
Well, we're going to take her to the in-laws to visit, but I don't suspect that's going to last a long time. She barks at everybody, so.
Okay, so you're basically using the dog as a way to leave early.
I guess I am, but I don't want our dog to leave barking at all the in-laws, and they have some other animals of their own as well. So.
Maybe they deserve to be barked at.
Hey, you never know. We'll find out. They could just be, kosher. I've got two cats as well, and they're all sleeping in the other room, so you never know. Maybe it'll
bring
be,
them too. Yeah, you'll be able to go home even earlier. It's like, well, we every an hour for every pet that we brought.
I just pull into the driveway and there's cats and dogs just running everywhere. Sorry, guys, we're gonna have to leave. This isn't gonna work
right,
out.
Right, this is getting out of hand. Okay, so tomorrow it's TJ and Andre.
And then I think Chop and Squirrel actually just got done recording a premium video for the three gamer. So
okay, and then we'll have basically Friday. Is when like all of the Sunday content comes out at once. So
it's gonna be a lovely Friday.
Lovely. That one day you have to do like everything all at once.
It just basically what that means is I'm just gonna eat a lot on Thursday. So that Thursday night I just pass out.
Then wake up early in the morning, probably and
reset, ready to go Friday.
Ready to go Friday. And then we also end up this year with NFL main slates on Christmas Eve.
Oh, thank you for breaking that ice to me. No, I was going to be doing the schedule later today.
Because Christmas Eve is Saturday and Christmas Day is Sunday. So the NFL, what they're doing is that on Christmas Eve, there's like 9 games and Christmas Day, there's 4 games or something like that. Christmas Day is very similar to Thanksgiving. And The Saturday slate is more like the Sunday slate, but that's Christmas Eve. So basically, Saturday morning is kind of like a normal Sunday morning, and Sunday will be like Thanksgiving. So I'm just going to let you know.
Might actually be all right. That might actually be the better way.
But I'm just
going to
let you know, those 12:24, 12:25, you're going to see that in Slack. Good luck with that.
Yep. I've got my day laid out. That's for sure.
Okay. So give a thumbs up to Devin for hanging in there. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the notification bell. And good luck on Thanksgiving. Go pass out on the couch. Watch some football. And I'll be back on Friday. No MMA this week, but it'll be a casual Friday. We'll talk about stuff, probably the main NFL slate, and answer your DFS strategy questions like I normally do here. Monday through Friday, 11 o'clock Eastern, on the DFS pregame show on rotogrinders.com.